All right, we are in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're taking a look at something that a very momentous occasion for a lady who really wanted a child. Here's how it goes. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Joraham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. I just want to make a note there. Let's pause for just a moment. This is a godly man who is faithfully going up to the temple each year to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. It was acceptable that he had more than one wife in that culture and that time. So he's portrayed as being a very, very godly man who loved particularly, especially his wife Hannah, who had no children. Please notice, the scripture in verse 5 does not say the Lord had allowed her womb to be closed. God, in his written word, says, and the Lord had closed her womb. Sometimes there's something going on in our lives that is troubling us. It may be causing us heartache. We need to be seeking God because it could be that this is one of those cases where God himself has brought about the situation that is troubling us. In this case, the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Verse 6 continues, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. We would be tempted to conclude that if someone is going to be egging us, irritating us, agitating us, dogging us because of something perceived to be negative going on in our lives, then whatever that negative aspect of our life is, God had nothing to do with it. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not, maybe. In Hannah's case, she was being just abused emotionally by her husband's other wife. Isn't it great how humans can be so ugly for no reason, just because we can be? And so Elkanah is married to Peninnah and to Hannah, and Peninnah has her children, so she dogs Hannah for not having any. You would hope that knowing the way life went in that culture in that time, that it was a miserable experience for a woman to not have children, because it was so important for her to have children, keep the family name going, to have a sign of status that she has worth, she has value, she has significance, because she's able to bring more babies into the world. And to not be able to have that happen, you would have hoped that Peninnah would have tried in some way or other to console Hannah instead of making her feel worse. But again, remember, they were considered rivals, because here's the problem with having more than one wife, even in that day when that practice was acceptable. You ran the risk of the wives competing against each other for the husband's attention and love and care. And so notice what verse 6 says. And because the Lord had closed her womb, Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, isn't that great? Whenever they all went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. They were all supposed to be going up to the house of the Lord for the purpose of worshiping him, for the purpose of connecting with him even more mightily, even more intimately than before the trip to the house of worship. And in showing her great love for God, Peninnah would provoke Hannah when they went up to the house of the Lord. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Remember, it was important to the wife to bear children, but especially sons, so that the sons could carry on the family name. Not to mention, inherit whatever the father left behind to also continue the family legacy. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty." Isn't it interesting that that's who Elkanah went to visit, went to worship year after year? The Lord Almighty. Now Hannah is here praying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." So Hannah, after years and years of torment from her rival, is pouring her heart out to God, asking for a child, and promising to dedicate that child to the Lord for the Lord's use all the days of his life. I definitely want you to keep following me as we go through this. Let's see what happens. Does she become pregnant? If she does become pregnant, does she deliver a child? If she delivers a child, is the child a son? If she delivers a son, does she indeed dedicate the child to the Lord's service as she promised? We'll look into that. Till next time.